I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest today is Dr. David Seaman, who reports that he was the first person to author a scientific paper that specifically hypothesized that diets can be pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. Since that paper was published in 2002, thousands of papers and numerous books have been published on the topic of diet and inflammation, which is now accepted as mainstream. Dr. Seaman is a professor of clinical sciences in chiropractic medicine at National University in Health Sciences in Pinellas Park, Florida. He has a B.S. from Rutgers University in 1982, a Doctor of Chiropractic Medicine from New York Chiropractic College in 1986, and a Master's of Science in Bio-Nutrition from the University of Bridgeport in 1991. He has authored of the book, The Deflame Diet, Deflame Your Diet, Body, and Mind, published in 2016, and was awarded the 2006 Academician of the Year Award by the American Chiropractic Association. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Seaman, and I look forward to hearing about diet and inflammation. Now, first, can you tell us how you got interested in nutrition and inflammation?
First of all, let me say thank you for having me on your show. And I got interested when I was young because I was nutrition in general because of sports and athletics, and realizing I probably, you know, probably saw my mom exercising to Jack LaLanne, and Jack LaLanne was a pretty fit guy. And so, and he would occasionally talk about nutritional stuff. So I kind of got interested when I was young. And then I was taking a post-grad class after I got out of chiropractic college, and I was listening to a pain researcher talk about pain pathways and what drives pain. And he listed a bunch of different chemicals. They're all inflammation chemicals. And a lot of them, I realized, were related to dietary factors. And so I said to myself, I wonder if we could eat ourselves in and out of pain. And so the Sunday session, that when I came back, I brought one of my nutrition books, and I showed him a pathway. I said, "Do you think that we could, you know, eat ourselves in and out of pain?" He goes, "Huh, never really thought of it." He was drinking a Coke at that point, mm-hmm. by the way. If he was negative on me, I wasn't going to take it too seriously. But he was positive, mm-hmm. and that just was very, very motivating. And that was back in 1987. So I've been doing this now, this whole nutrition, pain, inflammation topic now for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what are some examples of how diet can promote inflammation?
Well, there are lots of different ways to look at it. And there are sort of, I don't know, what you could call maybe dead-end streets that just kind of like are not very integrated physiologically. I think the easiest way to look at it is from the perspective of acute and chronic inflammation. If one was to sprain their ankle, they would have acute inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And then if one was to get osteoarthritis, they would have no swelling, and they would be related to chronic inflammation. So you have acute mm-hmm. and chronic inflammation. And so let's just say that you and I decided to sneak out when no one's looking and get a cup of coffee, which is anti-inflammatory, by the way. So your listeners should be happy to know that the chlorogenic and caffeic acid, those are bioflavonoid polyphenol molecules. They're anti-inflammatory. They're found in coffee, but the donut that you dip into the coffee is pro-inflammatory. So let's just say you and I were to sneak out and down six donuts between the two of us. We would have a high blood sugar response to that donut fest, and every cell that was exposed to the high blood sugar would then release inflammatory chemicals acutely, but there would be no swelling, which is very different than the swelling that occurs when you have a sprained ankle. So there is an acute inflammatory effect, and if we did it once in a while, no big deal. But if we do it chronically and we move ourselves towards having elevated fasting blood glucose, high levels of hemoglobin A1C, which your listeners probably have heard of perhaps if they get their sugar checked. And so then people basically end up living in a blood sugar state that is close to 100 or over. And when you hit 100, that's considered to be officially pro-inflammatory. And so then you're in a state of chronic inflammation. And this, whether it's acute or chronic, you're either producing more or less of these inflammatory chemicals. And so the way we end up with diabetes or metabolic syndrome is to overeat sugar and flour, and then the oils that go along with them, and a donut is a perfect example of it. Same thing for like pizza dough.
Mm-hmm.
Flour. So that'll raise blood glucose. So when it's raised acutely, you get an acute inflammatory event. You may have no symptoms. But chronically, when you develop a chronic state like metabolic syndrome, people who have metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, they are more disposed to have, the odds favor that they are more likely, not destined, but more mm-hmm. likely to have local aches and pains, widespread pains, and headaches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about heart? Because a heart attack would be an acute situation, right?
Well, a heart attack is an acute situation, but a heart attack, if you're talking about a vasospastic event versus which is possible,
mm-hmm.
and then you could also have the standard atherosclerosis where the diameter of the coronary arteries become smaller, and then you have a stressful exercise, physically demanding scenario where the narrowed vessel is not able to deliver enough blood and oxygen to tissues. So that would be, a heart attack would be the outcome mm-hmm. in that case of long-term chronic mm-hmm. inflammation. Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly, what a lot of people, it's in the literature very, very clearly, but it's just not in the public domain, so people don't really know, but even doctors oftentimes don't know about this, is that you can actually develop joint and muscle degenerative changes that are biologically, not from under a microscope or in a surgical situation, but biologically, I guess in some perspectives it is, but basically tendon pain and joint pain of osteoarthritis is basically the same chemistry as atherosclerosis, where you end up narrowing of your heart arteries or mm-hmm. your brain arteries or your leg arteries. So it's all the same chemistry. So the heart attack would be the outcome of that long-term chronic inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't vitamin K and beets and some of those things take care of that problem so it doesn't become chronic?
Well, it's kind of like if you live on donuts, probably not. You know, it has to be a scenario where K and the rest of the nutrients, they are helpful, but they cannot combat a tsunami of donuts rolling down the digestive system. So my suggestion is for people to make sure their biologic markers are proper, their waistline is proper, their body mass index is proper, their waist-to-hip ratio is proper, their fasting glucose is proper, postprandial glucose is proper. And if all those things are proper, then you can cheat, you know, as you mm-hmm. like. And in my book, The Deflame Diet, Chapter 9 lists all of those markers. The entire chapter is devoted to it, assessing whether or not and how inflamed one is. And the interesting thing about this, people can be brutally inflamed, have no specific joint pains and muscle pains, and just be very depressed. But then mm-hmm. most people who are very depressed also have aches and pains.
Mm-hmm. I read recently that elixir of garlic will remove the plaque in the arteries in a very short time. I think what they said was a month, which didn't seem possible, and it seemed like that would have created other problems if you had all of that plaque going out into the bloodstream. But they didn't talk about that. Have you read any of that research? I only saw the one article on it.
Well, when it comes to garlic, when it comes to plaque is something that occurs, you know, if people were to, you know, envision, say, mm-hmm. PVC piping,
mm-hmm.
you know, PVC piping, you just cut it in half, you look at it, it's just got one layer. Well, blood vessels have three layers. You got the inner little layer that has just a single layer of cells, and then it has the next layer, a mm-hmm. muscle layer, and then you got another layer. So these three layers, the plaquing develops not on top of that innermost layer. It develops within.
Mm-hmm.
So for garlic to actually have an effect on plaque or anything else, you have to create an anti-inflammatory effect. And I'm unaware of garlic by itself being able to just to have that kind of effect in a month. That seems it would be amazing. I would probably say that's probably not a very likely outcome. It would be great, but probably not very likely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned pain and inflammation. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship of inflammation to pain?
Yeah. Every single cell in the body produces chemicals. Like right now, you and I are talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking back and forth with words. And so when I talk, you hear me and your receiver. And then when you talk, I hear you and mine. So we go back and forth like that. And that's how cells talk. So cells are always talking. And the cells in our body, they talk with chemicals. And we have chemicals that are inflammatory, pro-motion, pro-inflammatory, and we have chemicals that are anti-inflammatory. And so we need both of them. We need situations where we need to have a pro-inflammatory response, and then we need a situation where we need to have an anti-inflammatory response. Now, we should live in an anti-inflammatory state and only turn on inflammation when we need to. So the cells of our body, when they are in a pro-inflammatory state and they produce too many of these pro-inflammatory chemicals, then there will be a point where your, well, pain fiber is the sort of the general word for this part of the nervous system. But these nerve fibers, nerve cells that innervate, or they innervate every tissue. So that's why if you have your shoulder, you can feel, for example, a little spider crawling or an ant crawling on your skin. Look down because skin is innervated. There are nerve fibers that go everywhere. It weaves through all body tissue, basically like chicken wire. Mm-hmm. And so whenever the chemicals are produced in excess, they will stimulate those pain nerve fibers, and then we experience pain. And if we do all the right things, here's an interesting version. The window of healthy sleep for the average person is about 6 at the low end to 9 hours at the high end. If you go below 6 and you do that for several days, you can end up experiencing more pain because not sleeping enough is stressful to your body cells, and they produce these inflammatory chemicals. And these inflammatory chemicals irritate those pain fibers, and boom, we got pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. David, if you know what causes the pain, then what can be done to relieve the pain as a result of inflammation?
Well, if the inflammation that's causing the pain is due to stress, then you got to de-stress. If the inflammation that's causing the pain is due to not sleeping enough, then you got to sleep more. If the inflammation that's causing the pain is due to sitting in really bad posture, then you got to sit in proper posture. If the inflammation that's causing the pain is caused by diet, then you got to fix the diet. And the average person out there, their diet's terrible. I describe this terrible diet for a visual effect as doing drive-by self-shootings. Mm-hmm. At your favorite fast food restaurant, mm-hmm. right? You drive up, you order. Now, people like to blame the burger, but they drive up, they get a little bit of meat, and then they coat it with ketchup and mayo and a bun, and then they get a bunch of French fries coated with oil, and then coat them with ketchup, which is basically pure sugar, and then mm-hmm. they wash it down with sugar water called soda, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And they blame the burger.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of drive-by self-shooting done to the point where we start to move into a fasting state of high blood glucose, that scenario is an example of the diet being a promoter of the inflammation that's causing the pain. So you can keep the meat if you want to eat meat. I'm not saying you have to, but if you like meat, eat meat. Just replace the bun and the French fries with vegetables and sweet potatoes and fruit and nuts and beans and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like beans, you don't have to eat beans. If you don't like whole grains, you don't have to eat whole grains. You just eat meat, fish, chicken, and lots of vegetation. And that will change. That will address the diet-induced pro-inflammatory state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting because I'm vegan and I rarely have pain anywhere. So,
but interestingly, though, a lot of people who are vegans, they could live on donuts, right? They live in organic.
Oh, no. That's not part of the vegan. At least it's not part of my vegan diet.
Oh, well, I know. I'm just saying, though, that there are ways that people can be brutally obese and be vegan because they eat tons of donuts, because there's nothing animal in a donut, you know?
So it
all depends. Yeah, you can actually be but you can move to the Arctic and become a seal eater. And just only thing you live on is seal meat because you're living in the Arctic Circle and become pain-free.
Mm-hmm.
Because the real problem is the sugar, the flour, and the oils that mm-hmm. they're cooked in.
Well, see, I'm also gluten intolerant. And so that eliminates wheat and a lot of the, you know, pastry type things. But I don't eat simple carbohydrates.
Yeah, what's interesting about the whole gluten thing. I'm sorry, Carl, what were you going to say?
I just consider that part of a vegan diet, but I guess you're right. People can eat donuts and that would be
potato chips, yeah. All kinds of stuff yeah. you can eat on a vegan diet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
A vegan diet can be violently inflammatory. And part of the reason why it tends to be for the average person is because the average vegan does not eat enough vegetation. So if I was to go vegan, I would avoid whole grains completely, largely because they are the least nutrient dense of all of our calorie sources. I would eat beans. I would eat hemp seeds and chia seeds and lots of macadamia nuts, lots of coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get my heavy calories there, and I would eat tons and tons of pounds of vegetation and lots of sweet potatoes as well. And that way you can get all your calories in a very, very anti-inflammatory fashion from those foods. So whether one is a vegan or whether one is a full-on meat eater, the main problem is the drive-by self-shooting foods, and that basically you can just, like, say, for example, a donut. Well, what's a donut? Donut is sugar, flour, shaped into a donut, and then you cook it in oil. Well, you know, what's bread? Well, bread is just sugar and flour, and it's baked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you look at all these different, it's just all dietary crack.
Mm-hmm.
And you can basically shape sugar and flour or salt and flour differently. You have flour, more salt, less sugar, you get a pretzel. Well, that's still inflammatory. It's dietary crack. You have more sugar, deep fry it, get a donut. You take the white potatoes, throw them in a fryer, and now you got French fries. And those are all calorie sources that vegans and meat eaters can share, and they're both inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
So those calorie sources really need to be removed, or at least removed to the point where all of one's markers are proper.
Mm-hmm.
They make the markers the goal,
mm-hmm.
then it's much less emotional.
What's the problem with potato chips? Is it the oil?
Yeah, if you look at potato chips, they're basically just thinly sliced,
mm-hmm.
you know, less than a, probably like the thin as a dime, and then you just cooked in oil. So
mm-hmm.
basically, it's just if you look at a handful of potato chips, the calories, I think it's like 150, maybe like 130,
mm-hmm.
120, or oil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you look at a potato itself, there's like almost no fat in the potato. Now, and I'm not an anti-fat guy. I'm just saying though that
mm-hmm.
the calories in potato chips is literally pure safflower, sunflower, peanut, corn oil, whatever they're cooked in.
Mm-hmm. I occasionally have to have some potato chips, so I get some cooked in coconut oil.
That's a better way to go.
Mm-hmm. And they're pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when they use, I think they're called green potatoes.
I've not had those. You're making me want to do a little investigation there, Carl.
Well, they're the only ones, I think they're Harvard, but I'm not sure. I think they're the only ones that I found that are done with coconut oil. And the reason that I don't use any of the others when I have to have some potato chips is because most of them use canola oil, which is not organic. 90% of all canola oil, genetically modified, and also not organic. And I try to avoid the genetically modified foods. So that's why I go to the coconut oil when I can, because it's one of them that will tolerate the high temperature, but I can get it organic, so it's not genetically modified. That makes sense?
Yeah, well, I just... try to avoid the whole potato chip thing just because I have a willpower issue thing like everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just an important thing too for people who are listening. If they feel like they're like a lot of people who have a hard time when it comes to calories, like donuts and excess chips, is they actually have a negative self-image where they feel like they're weak because they got to do it. But researchers came up with a really, really good term to describe the world, the food world that we live in, and they call it, so obese, so obviously more than just fat, so you're extra fat, you're obese. I'm not saying you are, but you know, one's obese. And so they call our environment, they call it an obesogenic environment. So we live in an environment, in eating a food environment that if we are not vigilant over what goes into our mouth, there is almost no way not to become overweight,
mm-hmm.
because the environment is obesogenic. And I want to pretend I did not hear about those coconut potato chips, Carl.
Oh, well, that's my one downfall, because as I told you, I don't eat cakes, pie, candy, ice cream. I don't eat meat I don't eat dairy.
But I think it's unfair, Carl, though, to put meat in the same sentence with ice cream and donuts. They're totally different calories. Like if you have a piece of, let's just say that, for example, from a blood sugar and from an inflammatory perspective, eating a piece of meat is like eating a piece of fish. And if you look at, say, Native Americans and Inuit Eskimos, I mean, these people ate a lot of fatty meat if they're up north. And they were very strong, healthy people. So meat itself isn't the problem. It's the way the animals are treated, and it's the additional calories that we add to the meat that is the problem. It's not the meat itself. If that was the case, then animal eating populations, like, for example, the Maasai tribe in Africa, they live on the cattle they raise and the milk that the cattle provide, and they drink the blood of the cattle. And that's the tribe that wears the beautiful, they're like 6 foot, they look like they're 6 foot five, and they have this amazing, like, vertical jump thing that they do. They wear these beautiful red garments, and they're thin, lean, and they're healthy as can be, and they eat meat, blood, and milk. Nothing they all do, but they can live on that for a long time into their 80s, 90s, whatever it is, without disease, and it's a meat-based diet. So it's not the meat. It's the sugar. It's the donuts. It's the crack. It's the dietary crack that really is the problem.
But you're talking about two different societies. It's the same as when I was a child. We took a pail, we went to the farm, we got milk, which was unhomogenized, unpasteurized. We took it home, my mother skimmed the cream off the top for coffee. We drank skim milk that was unpasteurized. I wouldn't care about doing that today. Well, I don't drink milk, but I wouldn't care about doing that today. But it was perfectly safe 80 years ago. So it's the same over time. Things change so that what was safe one time may not be another, and what is safe in one culture may not be safe in another culture. At least that's what I think.
Well, when it comes to still though comparing a burger as just the meat versus a donut, They're completely separate calorie sources, and they have a completely separate biologic effect. There'll be, you know, no blood sugar effect at all from meat, cheese, and eggs, where you'll have a robust blood sugar response from eating potatoes, excessive amounts of potatoes. I shouldn't have potatoes, because potatoes are really not that terrible. The Irish peasants ate like 7-10 pounds of potatoes, white potatoes per day, and had no untoward effects because they were so active. But if you compare, you know, meat, the blood sugar response to meat and the physiologic response to eating meat in the historical fashion without sugar and flour, they're just like separate food categories. So there's been a conditioning that has taken place where people have equated, you know, they look at a burger and with all the extra crap on it, and they blame the meat. And it's really not the meat that's the problem. If it was the problem, then there would be, back in 1900-ish, a Scandinavian researcher named Stefansson came south from the Arctic Circle, where he studied the Eskimos for like 9 years. And during this time period, he spent time in New York City, and he ate all of his meals at Bellevue Hospital, supervised. And he ate only red meat. And after 1 year, no untoward effects at all. Now, I'm not saying that you should do that. I'm not saying that anybody should do that. What I'm saying, though, is that sugar, flour, and the refined oils that they are cooked in, that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not saying that one should, again, do that, but to equate sugar and flour, a donut, with meat, it's just not the right mindset to have around meat. Because if you get rid of the French fries and the bun and you just add tons of vegetation and a sweet potato, it's irrelevant.
And you get rid of the growth hormones and some of the other things they add. You know, and the animal that knows it's being murdered before it's murdered, and the adrenaline and all the things that happen in the body. I equate anything that I don't want in my body in the same category. And meat
right.
falls in that category because of the things they do to the cow before it's killed. And the same.
Have you ever watched the movie Temple Grandin?
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah, it's amazing. She's a highly functional autistic woman who got a PhD, and she worked in the cattle industry. I think she still does. And she was able to. It's actually the movie is called. I think the movie is Temple Grandin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Claire Dane plays her, and she was able to devise a way to move the cattle towards slaughter. And they walk in a circular fashion with none of those hormonal changes at all. Very, very, very peaceful,
mm-hmm.
peaceful, ethical way of treating animals. But, you know, one can always just go get grass-fed meat and avoid the whole mess if they want to.
Right, right. Then I wanted to ask you about cancer. Is there a chronic inflammatory process that precedes cancer?
Well, cancer is really complicated, as you know, but the answer, generally speaking, is absolutely yes. It is well known that the cancer state is an inflammatory state, so absolutely. And one of the worst calorie sources for cancers, and this is for, you know, your solid tumors, is sugar and flours, glucose. These tumor cells, they require a good supply of glucose. There's a lot of research going on now where they're doing what are called ketogenic diets, where they drastically reduce calories from a carbohydrate, less than 50 grams, which is less than 200 calories a day from carbohydrate, and they, you know, quote unquote, starve the tumor cells because they require glucose. They cannot live on lipids or ketones, the way they modify the energy producing apparatus inside the cell.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that you would like to talk about before we look at your book and your services and any products that you have?
I think we covered a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Then do you want to tell us about your book and about any services and products that you have?
Well, I'm currently redoing my website to better display the services that mm-hmm. we have. But right now, the primary product that I have is the book,
mm-hmm.
which is most readily available and easy to get via Amazon. If there are any practitioners or stores listening, you'll be able to get bulk copies at a discounted rate once my new website is going. But the book is written for the average person, and if you go on Amazon and you look up The Deflame Diet and you go to Amazon, there's probably like, I don't know, 30 reviews of it now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, Carl, it's 5-star, so that's always good. I'm happy about that. People say it's very easy to read, makes a lot of sense. It unmuddies the confused, muddied water of nutrition, lay out the foods that create the flame and the foods that do not create the flame. And it's written in layman's, average person language, except for one and a half chapters, because you have to have a scientific chapter in a book like that. So they should just skip the complicated stuff there. But it's laid out in a fashion to really make things easy for people. And it's, you know, I call it the deflame diet. It really is, you know, the deflame diet, which is the deflame lifestyle of eating, because you can't, you know, deflame, as I call it, and then just hop back on the donut trail. You know, you'll just inflame again. So it's important to make it a lifestyle. Really reasonably priced. I mean, the book is, I think Amazon's selling for $20. Mm-hmm. They're shipping, unless you have a Prime maybe membership, and it'll be $25 on my website for a single copy. So it's really inexpensive. And then what goes along with that, as I'm developing it over time, is my YouTube channel. That so for people who do want to eat meat, I show them how they can go into, for example, I know, Carl, you never go to Five Guys, but some of your listeners might want to go to Five Guys. It's a burger joint. Some of your listeners want to go to Five Guys. And if you are a burger guy or girl, you know, and when you hear about changing your diet around, people think, oh, you know, you just eat beans and sprouts and leaves the rest of your life. No, you don't have to. You can go to Five Guys. You just get a burger without the bun, no fries, and lots of vegetables. And so I've got YouTube videos that show how to deflame at Five Guys. I've got a video that shows how to. Do you guys have Aldi up in Virginia?
Not yet. It's coming.
Yeah.
I think it's in Richmond.
Yeah. Yeah, so Aldi is really a great place to get inexpensive, relatively speaking, inexpensive whole foods, and you can even get organic foods there. So I did a video about how to deflame at Aldi. Now I did put in there that you can get some bacon and eggs there if you want, because mm-hmm. bacon and eggs, as long as you don't have a bunch of donuts, is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So those types of videos are there. I've got Facebook page to keep up with the deflaming, and Twitter. So I'm kind of gradually getting myself more social media charged. And I sell supplements on my website too. These supplements are made in a production facility that also makes medications, which means that you have to have extremely intense quality control Mm-hmm. It's so intense where a drug manufacturing facility gets audited. They literally go in there with like a Q-tip and dig underneath one part of the machine to make sure that there's no residual chemical of any kind. So for Anabolic Labs, the company that whose products that I sell, it's like almost 30% of their cost is just on cleaning. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of detail.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I'll have coaching services at some point and consulting as well, depending upon what people's needs are. And that will develop as time goes on. But they can just go to deflame.com and check out the old website. They can link Amazon from there. And then soon enough, there'll be the brand new website that will be up.
Good. Do you have practice?
Not currently.
No.
I teach at a chiropractic college currently.
Oh.
It's kind of hard to write books and travel and do lectures and teach and have a practice as well. I don't have that kind of brain power. I can only do a couple things at one time.
Well, you're kind of like me when I did public health nursing. People would say, oh, you don't practice. You're the talking nurse.
Well, right? I'll tell you what. If people read that book and they do it in that book, they'll be very thankful that I sat down and did that because numerous people will follow the D-Flame recommendations, which is very simple. Really, it's just getting rid of sugar, flour, and refined oils, and pounds come shedding off and aches and pains disappear rather quickly for lots of people.
Well, it's amazing when you get all 5-star because I got 2. This woman wrote, my husband died of lung cancer, so I don't like this book. So she gave me a 2.
Oh.
And I got that kind of responses from people that had nothing to do with the book. In fact, I doubt that some of them had even read it. But that was the type of some of the responses. So I think I ended up from all of them with about a 4-point-something or other. But
great, though.
Yeah, but 5 is fantastic, right? Well, I appreciate this very much, and I'm sure it'll be helpful to the listeners, and I will be back in touch with you before it broadcasts.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks for having me.
My second guest, Patty McNulty, began her education with 4 years of intensive training in a combined mental health, addictions, and family counseling program. Subsequently, she spent 12 years providing inpatient and outpatient addiction services to a range of psychiatric hospitals. She was then the primary employee assistant program counselor for JFK and LaGuardia airports in New York, where employees could receive counseling and addictive treatment on site. In 1996, she was awarded a New York State citation for her work with the survivors and employees involved in Flight 800 plane crash that same year. Her work experience pulled her in the direction of not only further addiction treatment work, but also in trauma work in addiction populations. In 2005, she became a holistic studies practitioner, completed 2 graduate programs at the School of Vanadi in Pittsburgh, and is presently involved in Extension Graduate Program. Patty started working at Serenity Acres Treatment Center in January of 2013 as a licensed certified associate counselor for alcohol and drugs, and provides addiction counseling, family education, and holistic therapy services to her clients. She also runs her own business, Healing Branches, in Severna Park, Maryland. At Healing Branches, Patty practices cellular expansion and healing energy medicine, a form of hands-on body work that heals through the cells for optimum health and wellness. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Patty, and I look forward to hearing about cellular expansion theory. Now first, what is cellular expansion theory?
Cellular expansion in theory is a healing modality that's a form of energy medicine that directly works with the cells. It provides the opportunity to transform stored consciousness and releases constrictions of imbalances and diseases that are associated with your thoughts, your memories, and your emotions. Cellular expansion and healing organically opens the pathway for physical, emotional, and spiritual healing to occur. It gets to the root cause of the illness and allows the cells to reconstruct to a level of joy and aliveness. Your level of capacity connects to your higher self, which then invites optimal health and wellness for living. And as we know that we all have higher wisdom and capacity, cellular expansion helps connect that aspect to our daily lives so that the life is one of expansion and ease. So CE is cellular expansion is for healing, but also for transforming the way we live.
Mm-hmm. And Patty, how does this work and what are the benefits?
Good question. It works individually as a therapeutic hands-on body work, and then it can also work in a mindful meditation group setting, which is what we're doing. It's sort of the ECRS treatment center. And then it also can be done in a distance session, and this is great for people that are the elderly or children that are autistic, that can't sit in the office. So you don't have to be in the office. It can be on a distance basis.
Mm-hmm.
The sessions are performed, and it can be for approximately like 45 minutes in a very quiet setting. And then it does require that each person state an intention for the session. Or in the group, when I do the mindful meditation groups, what they do is they set their own intention within themselves, and then we bring that into the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that does is that, for example, come anxiety or let go of your fears. We've had many clients that want to heal their cancer and then heal their addiction.
Mm-hmm.
When the session begins, we invite the energy and the flow to begin. And what happens is that it moves and it unwinds the kinks through the cells. As this happens, layers of a deep suppleness in an altered state of peace and tranquility unfold. What I've gotten, the feedback that I get from a lot of the clients in the treatment center and then my own individual clients, is that they feel these vibrations and a warm, tingling sensation
mm-hmm.
throughout their body.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal as the toxins release when it directly goes through the cells.
Mm-hmm.
The benefit's been very profound. And they really provide healing of all kinds. Many of my clients share personal experience of their life changes as the illness is being healed, restored healthy relationships happen, and then the trauma issues become resolved. My personal favorites about cellular expansion is that there's an opening to a deep level of consciousness where you have that opening where you can be in that state of ease, and then you go into such a largest place that you're deep in your core, and then you get the opportunity to choose.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, when you have that state of being, that openness is there, and then you get to choose wherever you want to do, and then you can set your intention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful creation. It's just absolutely amazing to see that transformation happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this affects the energy within the cells? You mentioned the cellular level. And I was
right.
thinking of Patrick Vickers when I talked with him, said that the juicing and all from the Gerson therapy causes the energy to perform correctly within the cells, which is interfered right. with as a result of the cancer.
Yes. But what we're talking about also is that the resonance that comes in that invites the change that allows the consciousness
mm-hmm.
within the cells
mm-hmm.
to direct the changes that occur.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're really bringing up is the resonance that goes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we bring in where that invites it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also opens up to a process of where that directly occurs. And then this way, the energy can assist where the mind may be blocked or the old emotions and patterns are in the way.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm attached to deeply etched patterns that I've been stuck for a long time, that resonance comes in and then it moves it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Patty,
are you following me?
Yeah. Is there additional impact then on people with addiction and all beyond the heat and all that they feel?
Yes. And what this does is that how it impacts these people with addiction and the trauma is, we know, this is the definition of addiction and trauma is that the process of change through which each individual improves their health and wellness, live a self-directed life, and strive to reach their full potential. Now, see, cellular expansion supports the opening for each individual to have the opportunity to choose recovery. So in other words, most of the clients that come into treatment here at Serenity Acres that we have no clue how to feel connected. They may be educated on different modalities through cognitive therapies such as DBT, ABC training. They're all very well educated and they recite the words that they what they should be doing to stay sober. Yet it doesn't hold. Many have extensive histories of recidivism, and the trauma is so deeply etched in their DNA, and they are unaware how disconnected they are to their body, mind, and spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm.
When they receive the cellular sessions, this is, and they open up and they go into these mindful groups, they're provided such a state of calmness that they've ever have experienced in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And what this does is that that's the opening. Now, today, what we have, the statistics state that at the University of Maryland, School of Medicine, Department of Psychiatry, is talking that and says that we have, they claim that the population is up to 90% of each addicted client suffers from trauma. Cellular expansion releases the DNA of the trauma and brings in the opening for recovery and having purpose and meaning to the client's full potential.
Mm-hmm. Are these effects immediate or do they happen over time?
They can be immediate depending on the person, or they can happen over time, just like sessions. You can have a client come in and they may have just one session and that could totally shift them what they felt in a whole lifetime, as you know from being in this field, right? Or you can have them where they come for six sessions and then they need that for quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have clients that have been coming for 8 years, and when they come for 8 years, they've been coming. But the benefit is that they're just on a spiritual path, not to just see the C benefits, but how it's accelerated their development with the modality. So it's that they're just choosing that they like this is just like us getting up and having, you know, a healthy meal. And what I like about it is that the work itself is all organic.
Mm-hmm.
There's no machines. There's no needles. There's no lasers. And the main thing, what sets it apart from the other energies, is that there's no suffering. There's no pain. So the work instantly shifts to ease. And the growth for enlightenment is directed by the innate wisdom and higher consciousness of the client. And that's beautiful. I mean, that process, to see that, I think what I love the most is when I see someone open up the pathway and then they make that choice to choose for themselves, I get to watch on the sidelines of just how beautiful that they can create and be who they really are. And that's what I've noticed with the trauma work.
And Patty, what drew you to this area of healing?
I met a beautiful woman that I was introduced to that she was involved for many years working in the field of addiction. I always was drawn to searching and looking for ways to heal clients. And so I was very fortunate to have mentors. But this woman I was drawn to, she was in her 80s and she was a retired nurse and a healer. And at the time when I met her, I was a stay-at-home mom. And at the time I was with a newborn son and a challenging five-year-old son. The woman and I had a lot in common and we had similar backgrounds. She was in nursing, I was in counseling, the helping profession, but there was one thing is that we both had special needs children. The woman and I became very close and when I met her, she just looked a little bit funky. She was like a hippie and she was in the crystals. She had the stickers in the back of her car, like co-create, and she was glitter nail polish. And I had no clue what I was in for. She knew every healing modality and was written in some books. She laughed at my impatient tolerance with my challenging son. She also was a New Yorker and gave it to me straight. And one of the things that she said is that you're really, really stuck and you're not letting go of your son. And I was. Lo and behold, she introduces me to the healing world and she starts to educate me every week. She takes an interest in my oldest son and they work closely together. They have such an incredible bond. I would go to her house. We talk for hours about energy work, grids, crystals, rose light. I would read her assigned books and souls and light beings. She always gave me assignments. I still had no clue. Yet I felt the shift and eventually I would get sessions from her. My life was really changing. face did drop when she had to tell me when she was working on me that she saw a fetus in the energy and that I was going to be pregnant at the age of 42. I just about fainted, took this in strides. The woman and I developed a very close relationship and she became our family. And we had many dinners, birthdays. And as this happened, she participated in the birthing process for my third son. When the baby was born, he became very sick with a life-threatening illness for 18 months. I was still learning about healing, yet exhausted. So getting sessions was beneficial from her. I started to use this with my children, and things shifted. My baby eventually healed after the doctors gave him his last rites. Traditional medicine was not working. This was a miracle in our lives to have our son back. When all our everything started to calm down, my friend was getting old and tired of traveling to seminars and trainings for healings. And there was one training that she spoke about, and she insisted that she wanted to go and she wanted to learn about this cellular healing work. Her words is, she said that this is the best work that I will get in my lifetime, and I really want to go. Lo and behold, she calls my husband, and my husband talks me into driving her to Pittsburgh. I drive her to Pittsburgh. She has me go, and I'm thinking that I'm just going to go and just rest and be her chauffeur and just, like, bring her there. Lo and behold, she didn't have it that way. She turned around, and she put her arm around me, and she said, listen, she goes, I just want you to know that I signed you up for the class. And we're taking it together. I looked at her. I was shocked. I was so shocked. She smiled and she said, oh, sweetie, you'll do fine. And she gives me this big kiss and a hug. And the minute that that happened, I took the first class and I never turned back from then. It was so beautifully amazing of how deep the soul opened. My friend and I completed the practitioner's class. A year later, my friend gets very sick and rushed to the hospital. We have a few days together, and she preps me to say goodbye. I'm crying. My family's right by her side, holding her. She still proceeds to keep teaching me as she's on her deathbed and proceeds to tell me that I'm one of the best healers she's ever met in her lifetime. We say goodbye. We hug. We pray. And she says, "You have a lot. We have a lot of work to do together, honey." And she said, "I'm always with you. See you on the planes." And I got it. My friend claims that cellular expansion opened a path of healing for herself and clients that over 35 years studying and teaching other modalities has not. She says it's truly the missing link in healing and how we understand illness. This woman is with me every day along with my work. And I'm ever so grateful. So that's how that all started.
Can you briefly tell us about one of your clients?
Have a wonderful woman, and she writes about me, and she says, Patty McNulty changed my life with cellular expansion. I struggled with post-traumatic stress disorder for 4 years before seeing Patty. When our minds get stuck in patterns created by trauma, it also stores these patterns in the body. For me, I was intensely attached to these patterns. I tried everything to shift them: acupuncture, yoga, meditation, therapy, and medication. These types of convention and holistic treatments helped me to be able to function in my day-to-day life, but never reached the core of my trauma and to do thought patterns that were continuing to reign, dominate over my internal world. Cellular expansion held the space for me to actually change my fundamental belief system that was created over time through experience, in my case, traumatic ones. This process has been a catalyst through which I was able to heal myself from the core of my being, which in turn completely changed the way I choose to show up in the world. My entire life has been changed in a profound and permanent way without the need of long-term therapy and medication. I'm more stable and healthy now than I have ever been in my life. Cellular gave me my life back.
Beautiful. Then, Patty, do you have services, product, book, and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes, I have the services are held in my private office at Healing Branches, which is in Severna Park. And my phone number is 410-905-9509. I also work at Serenity Acres Treatment Center, where we do the mindful groups that are there based on cellular expansion that we created in the treatment center, which will be, it's pretty much the birthing of the mindful group for cellular out of Serenity Acres. And then there's also my schooling that I went to for training is at the Venati School of Cellular Expansion and Healing, which is in Pittsburgh. And we study out of the Current Center, which is in Allison Park in Pennsylvania. And it, the originator is Deb Schnitter,
mm-hmm.
who is at that School of Vinati. And there's many that you can go on the Vinati website that has a lot of trainings and healings that you can purchase through that also.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a website?
I don't have a website right now. I just have the healing branches at Verizon.net.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this very much, Patty. It's been interesting, and I always like to hear of new things, and I've enjoyed talking with you, and I wish you much continued success.
Thank you so much. It was a real privilege.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey. On my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.